It's quite possible you have already met our guest of the month, Mrs. George Black, in the pages of her book, My 70 Years. Of course, this book, with Mrs. Black's adventures in the gold rush of 98 and in politics during the 30s, was written 18 years ago. There have been many high points in her career since then, so a revised edition is coming out with the title, My 90 Years. For the last 7 years, Martha Louise Black and her husband, who was a member of Parliament for the Yukon until 1949, have been living in a spacious home in Whitehorse on the banks of the Yukon. A short time ago, Florence Wired, former Ontario newspaper woman, visited the Blacks in their home and recorded an interview with Mrs. Black. So here is Florence Wired with her first question for our guest of the month, Martha Louise Black, First Lady of the Yukon.
Mrs. Black, there are hundreds of your old friends across the Dominion who have lost touch with you, and many of them are wondering what you are doing these days. Can you tell us how you pass your time, just to bring them up to date?
I do nothing but sit and think. And perhaps, if I have the ability that I formerly had, I might do more than think. But as it is, I look back on my life of 90 odd years and realize how very little I have done when I should have done so much more.
Well now, Mrs. Black, you do more than just sit. Why, just last month you got in a plane and flew to Dawson for their big Discovery Day.
Yes, I went down for Discovery Day and very fortunately was allowed to stay at the Sisters' Hospital, the old people's home now. It was formerly Government House, and we lived there for several years.
How did Dawson look, Mrs. Black? It was quite a long time since you'd been there.
Dawson is a wreck. So many of the buildings are leading to the left or the right or backward. People have left Dawson. And unless there's a discovery, I don't know whether there'll be anything left to it except the wrecks of old homes. I saw three of my old homes down there, and it just simply made my heart sick.
Well, of course, when you went to Dawson in 98, things were really different. Tell us about... You went to Dawson, Mrs. Black.
Well, I walked in from Dyea on the coast of Alaska. I had a cousin and my brother with me. They sometimes got very out of patience with me because I was too slow. And I was slow. The only comfortable thing that I had to wear on that trip were the boots, almost knee boots, that my father had made by a man shoemaker in Denver, Colorado. I must confess that at times when Father realized the people that were taking that great trek, he wept. The tears rolled down his cheeks. And a father in those days was very prejudiced in my favor. And he would look at me and he'd say, "Daughter, my beautiful daughter, how can you ever stand this?" And I told him that I never thought I was going for a fortune. So why not be satisfied? And he said, "You're the only member of the family that has ever considered so much money." But I said, "Father, when you were my age, and if you had the opportunity of simply picking up $500,000, wouldn't you take it?" "Yes," he said, "daughter, I'm afraid I would have." I will confess that my brother and cousin were both horrified at the people we met, because they had been brought up as what we called in those days gentlemen. Well, afterwards, during my trip over the pass, they forgot that they were gentlemen. And even though I had been educated by the Sisters of the Holy Cross, I almost entirely forgot that I had been brought up as a lady. I learned to use language that no lady ever used. And people have asked me since if I never was afraid of the men I met. No, I'm only quoting what one of the men said. When he was asked, "Weren't you worried about Mrs. Black?" "No," he said, "she worried us far more than we worried her."
Well, Mrs. Black, after you had gone over the trail and all the way to Dawson and then found that there was nothing in the mining claims you had hoped to get, what did you do next? What happened that first winter in Dawson?
Well, that first winter, I discovered very early that I was to have another baby. I already had two boys. It struck me with horror at the time of the child's birth. I was attended by two men, one a one-armed man and the other an old sea captain. I was not in the least frightened because they were so gentle. And the one-armed man had in his arm a big hook, and he wrapped that around with cotton so that I had no more feeling than that soft cotton. The baby was born, and in 2 or 3 days I wrote a letter to my mother telling her what had happened. None of the family had had any idea before. Mother told me afterwards that she took that little lock of hair and said to Father, "What do you think this is?" Well, Father, after a moment's hesitation, and one of those little animals up there. "No," my mother weepingly told him, "no, my dear husband, it's another grandchild."
Well, you spent a year at home with your parents in the States, but then you came back to the North.
Yeah, now I came back to the North, and the North has ever since been my home. At one time, I needed a lawyer. One of the post office officials, Douglas Edwards, recommended a man by the name of George Black to me. He said he hasn't a big practice and he won't overcharge. And I met Mr. Black. I very well remember that almost the first thing I said to Mr. Black, when he had vouchsafed a suggestion to me as to my conduct, I said, "Mr. Black, I am paying you for legal advice. If I need anything more, I will ask for it." He told me afterwards that he could have slapped me, but I'm glad to say he didn't.
Well, I really think it was your boys who talked you into marrying him, wasn't it?
Well, George Black was the kindest. I never have met an own father as courteous and thoughtful and kind as he was to my three boys. In fact, so very kind to, and I would answer him back at time, one of my boys would come to me and say, "Mother, do you think you should speak to George that way? He's always so good to us." That, of course, shamed me in a manner, but never shamed me enough so that I didn't speak in that manner.
Well, you became Mrs. George Black.
Yes.
And then you became wife of the commissioner, because he was then commissioner of the Yukon and lived in Government House.
Then Mr. Black was selected to the House of Commons. And we were there several years in Ottawa.
Well, then you campaigned to become Member of Parliament yourself to represent the Yukon.
Miles in the seat. And couldn't take on. Several of his supporters came to me and asked if I would run in his place. Well, I had been brought up in the idea that woman's place was in the home. And I'd heard so much about Cal Nation and women of that style that I hesitated. But finally, when I was at my father's, I spoke to him about it. And Father looked at me, raised his eyebrows, said, "Daughter, you have the gift of gab. You might possibly succeed. Do the men up there like you?" Well, I hesitantly said, "Some do and some don't. And when they don't like me, or I don't like them, I don't hesitate about telling them." Well, my father said, "We've never had any he women in our family," which was what he always called a suffragette. But he said, "If you take it and get it, why, God speed you." Well, people were kind enough and good enough to elect me. And I went back to Ottawa, where I had visited when my husband was in the House and later Speaker. People in Ottawa were very cordial, very kind, and they realized that the only reason I had come back was because my husband was too sick to run the election.
And how many years were you there as member?
I was there the term 4 years and a half, I believe.
And you were 70 when you finished?
I was 70. And then when I came back home again, as I've always called Yukon, people asked me if I was going to run again. No. I said, "I told you when I first ran that this was all." And my husband was reelected, much to my delight. I've had no excitement since I left the House.
Oh, I think it's exciting to be 90.
Well, maybe it is.
You had a wonderful birthday party last year.
Yes, oh yes.
Well, Mrs. Black, before we say goodbye, would you like to give the Canadian women of today a little message? They don't have to climb the Chilkoot Path or go to Dawson on the trail, but they must all have things to do, that you could give them a little inspiration about.
Well, the only thought that I can give to women of today and their husbands and their children is to meet each day as it comes and always remember that you must do what you know to be right. I haven't always done it, but in the end, I've given the grace to go back and try to do it.
It's been our pleasure to bring you a recorded interview with Martha Louise Black, First Lady of the Yukon, 91 years of age in February. Mrs. Black was interviewed by Florence Wired, a former Ontario newspaper woman who now lives in Whitehorse. The recording was made in the dining room of the Blacks' home on the banks of the Yukon.